Do turn in your Bibles, please, back to page 857. Page 857 in the church Bible takes you back to Luke chapter 2 that we read together earlier. Luke chapter 2, page 857 in the church Bibles. And we've thought about the great joy that Jesus' birth brings. Let's think for a short time about the peace God offers us in Jesus. And we see that peace mentioned, don't we, by the angels in verse 14, when the angels sing and announce glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. So God offers this earth, this world, peace. And look back, let's think of that offer. If you look back at verse 9, we saw there, didn't we, that there was one angel that appeared first to the shepherds, and the glory of God shone around, and he was terrifying to the shepherds. But then look at verse 13. We're told that suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts. That host means army. So there was a great army in the sky. How much more terrifying would that be to the shepherds? And maybe those shepherds thought, what are these angels going to do to us for one moment? Are they going to consume us, wipe us out? No, they're going to sing. They're going to announce peace. These mighty, terrifying, awesome angels. Imagine if you lived in a village out in the countryside. Around the village there were fields, and your house looked out onto the fields, and you get up one morning and you look out your window across your garden and you look to see the fields, but instead of seeing all the fields, you see a huge army, a mighty army, tanks, camouflage soldiers, rifles, rockets filling the horizon right up to your back fence. And you have great fear. Your heart is bursting out of your body. And then instead of firing their weapons or driving their tanks over your garden fence, they shout, peace! Peace to you! And they begin to sing songs of joy. And you're like, what? This mighty army is announcing peace? Well, here in the sky, above these shepherds, is the mightiest army in the universe. And the one and only mighty God has sent them, not to annihilate, not to destroy, but to announce peace, to offer peace. God could annihilate, he could destroy, but he offers the world peace. But of course, for God to offer humanity peace, it implies something very serious. It means we are at war. And we are. Humanity has been at war with God and his goodness since the Garden of Eden, since Adam and Eve sinned. And yet now, God in his grace and favor sends his angel army to announce peace on earth. And how will God bring about this peace? Will his angel army enforce it at the end of an angel's spear? Will his angels occupy Bethlehem and Jerusalem and Rome and the whole world and impose a peace by sheer force like Caesar Augustus? No, God's peace won't come through an angel's spear. Listen to what the angel has said already in verse 11 and 12 of our passage. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Peace will come through a baby. He's our Savior, the deliverer from sin, Messiah, the Christ, the promised King. He is Lord, God Himself, come down. The Bible says elsewhere that he's the Prince of Peace. He has divine royal authority and power to bring peace. And he will bring peace to us, not with an angel army, but but in himself by living a perfect life and dying a sin-paying death on a cross in Jerusalem. God's offer of peace has arrived in the baby Jesus Christ. You know, you might order some flat-packed furniture and then it comes and you say, it's arrived. It's arrived, the flat-packed furniture. It needs assembling, but all of it has arrived. And in Bethlehem, in that manger, all of the Prince of Peace has arrived in the baby Jesus. He will now live and grow to be a man, and he will assemble a sinless life in himself, and he will finish all his assembling by laying down his life on the cross. And on the cross, he will provide atonement for sin. He will pay for sin and so reconcile repentant sinners, people who say sorry to God. He will reconcile them to himself. And he will bring peace between a holy God and a rebellious humanity. Peace on earth to those on whom God's favor rests, says the angel. You might ask, well, did Jesus succeed? I don't see peace on earth. I see endless wars. They're going on right now on this Christmas day. I see social unrest going on. How can you say Jesus has brought peace? Well, let's look again at verse 14, when the angels say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Now, that sounds like a peace, a kind of horizontal peace, doesn't it? Almost like a peace between people. But listen, it says, peace among those with whom he is pleased, or peace to those on whom God's favor rests. You see, the peace that Jesus Christ brings is first and foremost a vertical peace, a peace between you and God, as he deals with each person individually in this world. A peace with God and from God. This is the peace we all need. The Prince of Peace firstly brings peace with God, not peace with others, though that is good and it should follow. The most important peace we need is peace with God himself. After all, he is the one with whom we are at war. He is the good God at whom we shake our fist and say that we will do our own thing. It's him we offend with our lives, and his world we exploit with our greed. The peace you and I need most of all is peace with God. And that is what Jesus came to bring. You know, sometimes in our news, you will have a story, a true story, of course, of maybe a row of houses that were built in the past. And they were built quite a long way from the coast, from the cliff. But the sea has been eroding the cliff and eating away at the cliff. And the cliff is getting closer and closer to the row of houses. And it is going to eat up the houses. The houses will fall into the sea. But there's still a bit of a distance to go. And imagine you went and you visit this row of houses and you talk to the people who live there. And you find out that all of them, they have a focus on their garden. What they're really wanting is they're wanting peace with the weeds in the garden. They just want a beautiful garden. They want to bring about the flowers and the grass. That's the peace that they want. And you say, lift up your eyes. You need peace with the sea. This peace in the garden is secondary. You need to sort out peace with the sea. Right now in this world, on this earth, people are trying to be peacemakers. They're trying to be peacemakers horizontally, whether it's presidents or prime ministers or kings, whether it's a member of your family or someone else. They try to make peace between people. And peace between nations. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But the great peace we need is not peace with each other, but peace with God. And glory to God He has done something about it. He has made the first move. He has sent not his angels, but his Son, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin and born in Bethlehem. And his Son offers peace with God. He is the Prince of Peace. He has opened up a way of peace with God by living a perfect life and dying a sin-paying death and rising in power to offer life to all who will believe in him. And you know, God's peace isn't just the stopping of war between us and him. It isn't just the end of hostility between himself and people. It's his loving commitment to their flourishing. God's peace doesn't only mean forgiveness and safety. It means abundance and blessing for all who would trust in him. Now, if this is true, and it is, then let us just think about one aspect of this peace in our lives. You see, every human longs to be satisfied. Our life is a search for satisfaction, a search for peace. We are looking to arrive at a place of peace where our heart is no longer restless, but content, at peace. We search for this peace in our work, in our activities, in relationships, in money, in sex, in success, in beauty. Our whole life is shaped by this search for peace and satisfaction. But did you know it is impossible to find peace without peace with God? Why? Because you were made for God. You were made to find your fulfillment in God. God made you, and he made you to find peace and satisfaction in him. You need peace with God to ever find peace in you. You know, some people have said that inside all of us is a God-shaped hole. That doesn't go far enough. If we all had a God-shaped hole, we would simply do our best to step around it, to live our lives like it wasn't there. But we don't have a God-shaped hole. Rather, the whole of us, the whole of our being is made for God. And we will be restless and have no peace until we come to God completely and surrender the whole of our life to him. Imagine with me a ski resort in the Alps in Europe, a beautiful ski resort. But on this ski resort, there is a large patch in the middle without snow. And so what they have done is they've got that kind of synthetic crosshatch kind of stuff that you can ski on. And they put that over the patch. And you can kind of ski over it and still enjoy the real stuff around about it. That's not us. We don't have a patch in our lives where God should be that we can ski over and enjoy the real stuff everywhere else. For us, it's like the whole mountain has no snow. And the whole of the mountain has been covered in synthetic crosshatch. If you're going to ski, it will have to be on that crosshatch. And any skier will tell you, yes, you can ski on the crosshatch, but it's not the real thing. It is a very poor imitation of the real thing. Now, that is your life without peace with God. You can fill your life with imitations, but they are not the real thing. And you will not, and it will not give you peace. You know, for 2 years, I have had the wrong size chain on my bicycle. And it will seem okay for a good while, and then suddenly the chain will slip and you'll nearly bash your head on the handlebars. And then it will carry on, and it will be fine again, and it will be fine for a while, so that you even forget that there could be a problem, and then slip again, and you nearly go. And every slip reminds you that something's wrong. Things aren't as they should be. But now, Albany Cycles in Earlston, they put a new chain on my bike. Wow. So smooth. So reliable. So good. And now, I ride with peace. Everywhere I go, I'm at peace. I don't worry. How much more joyful is peace with God? He doesn't promise to take the weeds out of your garden. He doesn't promise an easy life, but he stops the sea. He brings you into wonderful relationship with himself, the very thing you were made for. Peace arrives in your life with God. Please listen, dear people. God hasn't left you to your synthetic ski slope. He hasn't left you to your life with the wrong size chain. He has sent a Savior who is Christ the Lord, one who can bring you into real life, real living, real joy, real peace. Jesus opens the door to peace with God, which is what you are made for. Glory to God in the highest. It's all his doing. He is worthy of all our praise this Christmas morning for doing this for us. What a thing for God to offer you peace with him this morning through his Son. The person and work of Jesus is a gift offered by God to sinners like you and me, even this morning. You know, I grew up in a family of 6 children. And so sometimes there would be lots of presents under the tree. You'd go to bed on Christmas Eve, there would be no presents under the tree. You'd get up Christmas morning and there would be lots of presents under the tree. Some years, there would be a present under the tree that was just far bigger than all the others. And I'm the youngest of the 6. So when I saw that bigger present than all the others there, my eyes would bulge and I would slowly make my way towards the Christmas tree to see if I could read the label of who it was for out of the 6 of us. And then one year I looked at it and it said, "To James, with love from Mom and Dad." And I went, "Wow, the big present is for me." Dear people, the big present is for you. Jesus Christ. He's the big present. And he's for you, that you might have peace with God. A peace that goes beyond all understanding. A peace that is a foundation in your life. Yes, we will struggle with peace with each other sometimes. You might be having trouble with peace with someone right around you right now, and it's good to seek that peace. But you know what? You will do that more wholeheartedly when you know you have peace with God. And you will be more enabled to sort those things out when you know you are standing on the foundation of peace with God. So do seek peace with each other, but seek it from the place of peace with God. This Christmas, bring your present of sin. Hand it over to Jesus. That's why he came. If you've never given him that present, give it him today. Give him your present of sin. All of it, hand it over to Jesus, that he might take it from you and leave you with a heart that wants to live for him, that you can give it to him. We might have different levels of things we can give, but every person here can be purchased by Jesus Christ and live for God
giving all of our heart to him.